T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right, 5 o'clock fire, the hottest stories in Houston, and we have to start with the number one story in Houston, Clint. Governor Greg Abbott is shutting down all bars in Texas immediately and reducing the occupancy at restaurants on Monday at the state, as the state grapples with the unrelenting spike in COVID-19 cases that have plagued the state since last month. Abbott said that restaurants will only be able to be at 15% capacity. That's down from June 12th when it was to be at 75%. And also, I know this one is near and dear to many, like my guy Clint. In addition, he is giving local governments new authority to regulate gatherings over 100 people, which would allow them to order groups to get a permit before having an event. And finally, he is shutting down the river rafting activities that have been linked to the surge in cases in Hayes and Comal counties in just over a week. Those cases have doubled in that time.
Yeah, it's look like it's hitting that area pretty. I'm up there in the Hill Country, man, where the rivers are at, man. The whole rafting thing is one of those that this time of year, July 4th, I've done it many years throughout my life. That, I mean, hell, it's Mardi Gras on the water, man. I mean, it's tube to tube. You can't get any tighter on the river. And it only makes sense at this point in time for the governor to step in and make sure as we lead into the July 4th week and weekend that he makes sure that the state and the cities, the bigger cities, certain areas understand how serious of a matter this is, man. I'm looking at it like, hey, it's gonna settle the traffic down on that river. It's gonna allow me to sit in there in that river in my lawn chair with my lady and drink a couple cold pops. Not to worry about anybody coming by and group of 4 or 5 young cats whistling at my lady, trying to get free beer, trying to steal my beer. You know, it's gonna make my chilling in the river significantly more enjoyable.
So you're happy with this portion? I mean, assuming as happy as you can.
Assuming we can still go and sit and they're not gonna eliminate that as well. Hopefully it's just the rafting, and we can still get outdoors and enjoy Mother Nature. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it's a positive in my world, but nonetheless, that's where we're at. I thought it was crazy, man, that the times we're living in. Show, we both look down at our smartphone, and there's an alert, public safety alert, and it's stay home.
Yeah,
stay home. Harris County's COVID-19 threat is elevated to level 1, which is red, which is severe. So, you know, I don't know what the governor can do. I don't know what other notification you need to get on your phone to realize how serious this thing is.
Yeah, that's normally like an amber alert, but that was not what that was this time.
It's a stay home alert, man. So, this is one of them things where it's you got to heed the warning, you got to be coachable, you got to stay your ass at home. And if you ain't going to work, then stay away from getting out of the house. Just stay in the house.
I'll tell you what, Clint, like a lot of stuff when you see big decisions like this, and a lot of it's driven by money, right? Mm-hmm. And you can tell the severity of things when people start saying, all right, we're going to stop with the money. This helped the economy. The bars and clubs being open, restaurants being open to as much as they possibly could be open, helps the economy in Houston and in the state of Texas. And it's gotten to a point where the spike has gotten so high that they have felt we have to take these measures, even though it is going to potentially crush us financially. It should allow people to know how serious this is. Wear your mask. and do what you can to keep yourself safe and others.
Yeah, and the thing with Greg Abbott shutting the bars and the clubs down and putting limits back on restaurants, I mean, the significance of that is that he's pulling the reins back on his own decision to open the state up. And so his ego's hung at the door. This is serious business, and it had to be done. So hopefully we can get this thing back you know, under wraps and at least heading in the right direction, but it's going to take all of us together doing it.
And I need to start, too, and I need to practice what I preach. I mean, I've been a little lax with my mask and things at times, but I need to practice what I preach.
I'm going to tell Courtney on you.
All right, don't do that, please. I think also another place we need to look at this is Jim Crane was speaking about, oh, we might have sports, might have be able to have fans in the stands, might have to be able to have 50% of Minute Maid Park filled up. This to me has to make you look at that as an option if there will be actually fans, even if the roof can be open in Houston.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they don't get it corrected, I would say it's slim to none, and slim just walked out the door. I mean, they got to get this thing moving back in the right direction. And look, it doesn't matter who's to blame, what's to blame, you know, for this spike in our city. Ultimately, all that matters at this point is that we get it under control. And if you do get it under control, then there's a chance that you'll get to see live sports again sooner rather than later. It'll increase the likelihood that the NFL gets started on the right time, that Major League Baseball gets cranked up. You know, July 1, obviously, all the players will be back here in Houston. But, I mean, all of these safety measures that we're taking are not only to protect us, but it's ultimately to get back to a level where we can enjoy the finer things in life, which are live professional sports here in the city of Houston. So, there's no doubt, man. Take it serious.
5 o'clock fire.
5 o'clock fire, the hottest stories in Houston. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley with you. And speaking of baseball, Clint, today is the day that baseball is allowed to make trades.
Yeah.
All right, they've taken that off. You can now make trades. You can now talk to other teams to get players. And the Astros are going to be one of the best teams in baseball when you look at their talent on the field. And they are going to be looking to add things throughout the season. The deadline is ending at August 31st. It will be really interesting to see where the Astros go in this, and there will be some holes that they want to fix.
Yeah, when I look at the Astros, the trade deadline getting moved back to August 31, they've essentially got a couple of months here to really get busy and figure out how the 60-game schedule, obviously with the playoffs, plus the playoffs, how that's different, what they need to do with this roster to best position the Astros to win another World Series. I don't care if you think it's got an asterisk next to it or you don't. I mean, ultimately, it's a World Series, and the Astros have a chance to go win another one. They're one of the better teams in the league right now. You got to believe that given the fact that Jim Crane and the Astros organization has been very aggressive and very active in the past before the trade deadline, running up to the trade deadline and filling any voids that the team shows they have. You got to believe in this shortened season, with every game meaning a lot more this season than it does, every individual game meaning more this season than it typically does. You got to believe that Jim Crane will be aggressive in going out there and getting, whether it's another starting pitcher or it's to fill the middle relief, or whatever you think it is that the Astros need, you better bet your bottom dollar that Jim Crane's going to get out there and make moves.
I just thought about something.
What's that?
With this, the Astros and other MLB teams being able to trade, do you think that other teams are going to try to punish and mess with the Astros and not do business with them due to everything that has happened with the sign stealing? How emotional organizations and players have come out against the Astros? Could that be problematic in them trying to get deals done? I just thought about that as we were talking about it, and I'm like, I wonder, will teams be like, no, I ain't gonna make that deal.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting, but I, you know, when I look at it, I go, man, if a team were to play games like that with the careers of some of these Major League Baseball players, especially players the caliber that you're talking about, the Astros would be hunting. It wouldn't be a guy that's buried on a depth chart for a Major League Baseball team, right, or buried in the rotation of a team. I mean, these are big-time guys. If word got out that an organization was playing games with another player's opportunity to get with a team and win a championship, that would be a very, very bad look. So I'm going to say no, But I would. I ain't gonna put anything past these owners that we've been watching negotiating in the public eye over the last couple months.
No, hell no.
5 o'clock fire.
A couple of things with the NBA. Tonight they will be releasing the NBA schedule, and also today they have finalized their plan for safety procedures to start July 30th. And along with that, Clint, 16 out of 302 players that they tested on Tuesday tested positive for the coronavirus, which is only a 5% rate, which I think they would probably look at as a win. But, yeah, the schedule comes out and everything is in place for them to go ahead and get started on the 30th.
Hey, Rockets got 8 games before the playoffs start, right? They're sitting at the – what's seed they at right now?
They're the 6th seed
at the 6th seed right now with everything except for the 1 and 2 seed, I would say, are in the reach. They could possibly make a move up the ladder. Obviously, you don't want to back down the ladder at all. But you find out who the Rockets are going to play, who they're going to get slated for those 8 games as the opponent. Tonight's big, man. We haven't had live sports in months, man. And now you actually get to see who the Rockets are going to get matched up against. I think that's worth having an old Coors Light gathering and having me a couple pops.
Yes, yes, it'll be really interesting to see what those 8 games will be, because this is not just a run-of-the-mill, oh, we got 8 games as a warm-up like it is for the Lakers and the Bucks, who know where they're going to be. They are in the 6th seed, but they have the same amount of wins as Dallas, who's in the 7th seed. And why does that matter? The L.A. Clippers are the 2 seed. And you want to avoid the Lakers or the Clippers if you are the Rockets. The Rockets can't fall out of the playoffs, but they can fall to the 7th seed. And that, to me, you want to avoid that.
Boy, if you're the Rockets and you just got to come out and ultimately the goal is to play fast, get good looks, you know, hammer down on defense, extra energy, extra effort on both ends of the floor is what you got to do, is just turn it up. You played 15 games of small ball before COVID-19 hit. All you got to do is turn this thing up and take it to another level. You got to think that they're chomping at the bit to get on the floor and prove. 8 games, man. If you can't empty the tank for 8 games in the playoffs, then something's wrong with you.
Yeah, it is. Something's wrong with you. So we'll get the schedule tonight and see who the Rockets have in front of them.
5 o'clock fire.
5 o'clock fire, the hottest stories in Houston. And this one to me is interesting because I put myself back into the place at the very beginning of the coronavirus, Clint. And this is just in Morehouse, historically black college in Atlanta, announced Friday that they are canceling their 2020 football season because of the coronavirus pandemic. And I first looked at that and I was like, what in the hell? What are you doing it right now? It's June 26th. But what it reminds me of is that's the same thought I had when the Ivy League canceled their college basketball tournament and everybody looked at the Ivy League and said, what the hell are they doing? And in a week and a half, everything was shut down. This, however, I'm just looking at this and I just want to put it in the back of my head to see how early somebody has already canceled the season. Is that something that may be about with the rest of the college football season?
Yeah, you got to think it's got to be in your mind. It's got to be a conversation that's being had behind closed doors. I would think that there's with the bigger organizations, the bigger programs in the country, I would think that they're going to do everything they can to pull it off because of the monies that are involved. But you got to think that it's definitely an option, and it's definitely something that's being discussed behind closed doors.
Yeah, that's what I said, man. When that happened, the Ivy League, everybody looked at them like, what the hell are those idiots doing? You know, the Ivy League. What the hell are those idiots doing? And I mean, and not kidding you, the next week, every other league canceled their tournaments. The NBA is off the floor, and then all hell broke loose. And we were just sitting there watching nothing and Netflix. So, all right, we'll get in. We'll see what that means. Hopefully that's not a precursor. Clint, we got some real issues here potentially for the Houston Rockets. Their playoff, hell, their championship title chances may have flown out of the window because they're attempting to break history, do something to win a championship that no team has ever done, I think. We'll get into that coming up. Clint Sterner and the show with you until 6 o'clock. And Clint, There was some concerning news that happened with the Houston Rockets that may not feel like a lot, like a big deal, but I think it is. I think it may hurt their chances in winning a championship just simply because it's never been done before. I don't believe. Earlier this week, the Houston Rockets, and Lord, I hope I'm saying this young man's name's right, Isaiah Hartenstein.
Hartenstein. You get it.
Family member of Isaiah, you can text in 713-572-4610 if you've got that last name. Isaiah Hartenstein, And they released him and let him go. And he is no longer on the roster. And the reason why you would wonder that's a big move is, as I'm looking through this roster, Clint, the Houston Rockets no longer have a full-blooded white player on their roster. No, they don't have a full-blooded white player on their roster.
This is a problem.
I'm trying to scratch back in my head. I believe we're safe to say, at least starting in 1990, if you go on, that would be the chances where we would look and say no team had any white players.
So the last 30 years, you had to scramble to find.
I don't think there has ever been an NBA champion that hasn't had a white player.
Look,
that's bucking history.
They got to find a white guy.
There's got to be somebody. There's someone available.
They got to find
John Stockton. His son played at Gonzaga.
I was the token white guy.
You've been there before?
On Baytown Lee on the freshman team. We were killer. We was busting the clock on folks. Unbelievable. Only white guy on the team. There's got to be one white guy on the team.
There just never has been a champion without it. I mean, if I roll through it, last year, they had Mark Gasol. I don't think he was alone either, but Toronto had Mark Gasol. The year before that, Golden State had Zaza Bečuljević. I believe that's how you say his name. He's a real dirty player, steps under people's foot when they take jump shots.
He must have stepped under LeBron's.
No, he took out Kawhi. He took Kawhi out for a series. They had Zaza. They've had Andrew Bogut in the past. The Cavs had Kevin Love and Matthew Dellavedova. LeBron in Miami those years had Mike Miller. There's just not been a team.
They got to find one.
San Antonio.
Is there anybody out there?
San Antonio had Matt Bonner, Tiago Splita. Tiago Splita, as Stephen A. would say. Kurt Rambis with the 90s Lakers. Jordan kept John Paxton and Steve Kerr with him. How about those Lakers teams? Oh, they had Mark Madsen, the dancing kid, Mark Madsen.
That's pretty good. That's a good long list of Caucasian individuals that you found.
Even
if there is one out there, I think it would be in the Rockets' best interest to find them a white guy. Make this run.
Oh, maybe they never had it. Someone just texted in that Hartenstein is mixed. Is he mixed?
Well,
they were flirting with
him
anyway.
I guess he possibly could. He looked awfully white to me.
Someone just texted in.
Even if he is mixed, they had one because Austin Rivers is mixed.
So you combining the two of them.
Yeah, two halves make one.
I don't think that counts.
That would definitely count.
It's got to be
full
blooded. Well, they have been on the hunt for this. They would be the first team in NBA history to win a championship without a white guy on the team. And they were doing it without Hartenstein. I'd stand corrected. Some people from his family, he was mixed. His father is black. Holy hell. They had no chance. Yeah, I'm not seeing it either when I view that photo. I'm not seeing it either. They got no chance. The Rockets should sign Landry. Bridget, can you find a white player that's available? Is there a white somebody? Go look up somebody who's played recently that's not available.
Bridges through the window going, he's
not
white.
She doesn't have a microphone to talk into. I missed it.
Between his last name and the way that
he looked. And gave it away as well. I didn't do more research on that. Well, they've been in a problem for a while. I wonder if I could type in white available basketball players.
Available NBA players, comma, white.
Available.
It's going to be a short list, I promise you.
Because everybody scooped them up?
Because I think it was short to begin with.
Can they make a trade for Doug McDermott? Is Chandler – can they just get
Chandler – Don't say Chandler Parsons.
Is Chandler Parsons available?
Don't say
Chandler
Parsons.
Can he drag his leg out there?
Don't say Chandler Parsons. You're going to light that text line up.
Apparently, from Bridget, his dad was Afro-German. Hold on. Go through the Lakers. Let's go to the Lakers. They got a white – they got Alex Caruso, that kid who's losing his hair by the day. Hey. Do the Clippers have a white guy? They do. They've got the center they start. He's white. The Bucks, I know they do. They've got Pat Connaughton.
Am I the only one I've never heard Afro-German?
I've not heard it.
I can put two and two together and figure out what it means. But Afro-German, and it's Hartenstein, and he's super white.
Matt Maloney, is somebody? See, think about
the
old
Rockets.
You're
just totally glossing over my question. Why do you keep avoiding my question? I'm still stuck on the fact there's no way that guy would.
His dad was a German basketball player.
What?
Basketball coach and former professional basketball player of Afro-German descent.
Huh.
Whatever it is, we know this has never happened in history. And we're looking at all the teams that are the championship level teams. The Bucks, they got Pat Connaughton.
Afro-German.
Afro-German. They've got to fix this. And they've got Chandler Parsons. Just pay him something. And just have him over there. Where is that? God, is JJ Redick available?
No.
No, he's with the Pelicans.
He's the Pelicans.
I know the Celtics got Gordon Hayward. God, they can't do. There has never been a team to win an NBA championship that does not have somebody of Caucasian descent, and the Rockets are trying to make history. And I don't think they should.
They're playing small ball.
Already playing small ball.
And with no white guys. They're just bucking
all kinds
of trends, ain't
Someone
they?
Someone from the text line, 713, said Chandler Parsons, just F you.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I knew when you brought that name up, I was like, boy, you finna get hammered on that text line.
Can Landry get up and down? I'm serious. Someone texted, hey, I'm with you. Can Landry get up and down? God, man, they have needed you. Daryl, what are you doing? Daryl. There's got to be somebody.
They got expanded rosters, don't they? Come on, man.
Someone just texted and show you're right. Go try out for the Rockets. I can't do it. I'm not white. I'm sorry.
You're white.
Where is Pete Chilcutt? Can he still go? Where's Joe? Look at Joe on those Bulls teams. He won a title.
Joe who?
Our friend of the show.
Oh, Joe Klein.
Joe Klein on those title teams.
Joe Klein is still he is still a very large individual. If he can get up and down the floor.
Great one. Great one. Chris Humphreys. Yes,
Chris Humphreys was mixed, wasn't he?
No.
The one that messed with Kim Kardashian?
Yeah, he's just Minnesota white.
In history.
Yeah, he's just Minnesota white. Just a little.
What is Minnesota white?
In the water looks a little
all kinds
look a little
of new
darker.
Racial terms right now.
look here. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you. We're gonna do some digging because if Isaiah Hartenstein's dad is black, is an African German or Afro German or whatever the hell they're talking about.
Somebody at Chris Humphreys. So, life
Chris Humphreys has got some. He has got some African American, whether it's mom or dad, in his background somehow.
Somebody just texted in that. Somebody just texted in, the Rockets are Glory Road. Come on, guys.
Chris, come on, man.
Can somebody sign Seth Payne? Seth Payne can get in the post and body up some people. I mean, practice.
Well, look, you're taking it a little too far. All I got to do is sit on the bench.
Just sit there, but I'm just saying he's got
to sit on the bench and pick up a check.
That's right. They got to make this happen.
I can still hustle, and I can give you a good small ball look.
Scotty Brooks, he's still coaching, right?
Yeah.
He's coaching the Wizards, and he's in it. Or he could. I mean, I'm just saying.
Hey, what about white chocolate?
Yes, someone just texted that in as well. It's Jason Williams. That's fine, man.
How
just
nasty was he back in the day?
My goodness, man. Him and Randy Moss from the same town. What were those that hooping together? What was that like? Good Lord.
Yeah, that was nasty.
Bryce Drew is coaching, but he could come in. Yeah, I don't think someone texted in Bubba Wallace. I don't think that works. Not if Isaiah doesn't work.
Yeah, if Isaiah don't work, there's no doubt. You're going to try to tell me Bubba's white? No, Bubba's got, what is Bubba half and half?
Yeah, he's mixed.
Huh.
Hair gave it away.
That's what I'm saying with old boy from that she, Chris Humphries.
He's got
a little Russell Wilson hair going.
Nah. I just think he's Minnesota white. I just think he's got that.
I've never heard of Minnesota white either.
You probably haven't. I just made it up 5 minutes ago.
My brother has the same hair as Patrick Mahomes, and he is as white as can be. I guarantee you.
Well, Pat Mahomes is mixed.
Yeah, I know, but
I don't think
my brother's not.
I don't think Jose Calderon counts. I think he's more Colombian.
Calderon would not be a white guy.
He is not. Someone said, "Heck, bring back in John Stockton." Yes. Just flirt. You're right, Clint. I mean, you are on the money. They're just flirting with all kind of stuff. No, this small ball thing, they're going to try to win a championship with a starter, no one over 6'7", and they're going to buck the biggest trend of all, winning the Larry O'Brien Trophy without a full-blooded white guy.
You got to find the white guy, man.
There's somebody.
I remember being the only white guy at Baytown Lee and going to play Viter down the street. Rough spot. It wasn't the spot we needed to be. They called me Coppertop. We had the police escort in and out of that joint.
You're making this up.
I promise you.
Coppertop.
I promise you. Hey, look here. That Viter back in the day was no place. I mean, that was a different deal right there. Spitting at us on the bench. Yeah, it was a bad deal, man. Let's get out of here, boys.
Let's make this happen. Come on, Daryl. You got some time to July 31st.
Find you an old copper top. Where's Bonner? Bonner.
Matt Bonner. He won one. I don't even know.
Hey, I got it. My boy Dusty Hannes, old Arkansas. Played at Tech.
Let's do it.
Played at Arkansas.
You get to wear that thick-ass headband.
He's been with Memphis in the G League. He can shoot from anywhere on the floor. Yeah, that's it.
You're just flirting with danger here.
That's it. Get him in here. Hell, he's been up and down with the Grizz a couple times over the last 2 years.
You're already trying to buck the trend with this small ball thing. Don't add more to the plate. Come on, Daryl. Petita, if you have to step in.
Find you a white guy, Daryl. Find you a white guy.
Right. Coming up, Clint, I don't know how many more people have to say this about Deshaun Watson before people start believing it. We'll tell you what that is coming up. All right, welcome back in. Clint Sterner at the show on a Fill Your Cup Up Friday. I'm sorry, check that. Coppertop.
Coppertop, come on, baby. I ain't been hit with Coppertop since them old Viter, them old basketball games in Viter days, man. Everybody out there listening knows what the hell I'm talking about. You don't know. You don't know nothing about Viter.
I think it's funny as hell. It tickled me pink, I tell you that much. Coppertop in the building. CP in the building. Coppertop in the building.
I feel like I'm sitting here having a conversation with my 70-year-old mom. Tickle me pink.
Tickle me pink, baby. I got that. I'm telling you, me and her, we're going to bond. She don't know it yet, but we're going to bond.
You better have some thick skin because old Mama Hog, she ain't got no filter, brother.
She better not hold back. I've already met some of your friends this week.
Only way you make her hold back is if you, that ain't no lie. You know, there's a whole lot getting thrown at you if you come across that bridge into Baytown.
That's right. Obviously, Bridget was not there when we met.
Yeah, she didn't get invited.
But we did have some fun with that.
She's been to the dirty before, though.
I know she has. I was listening to Chris Sims earlier, and he is very lame. I didn't want to start that off. Saying anything.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
There's the lame is running through his heart and would be a perfect candidate for the Houston Rockets to pick up to try to accomplish their goals, what I believe they need to accomplish. But he has it all.
So you think they should not just a white guy, but find the corniest white guy possible?
Yeah, if you don't believe. No, I ain't even going to say that, but it wouldn't hurt. You know, any way you can go, right? It could be you. Or I mean, if you don't believe how corny Chris Sims is,
I just needed to be a cool one.
If we
get a bad rap. White guys get a bad rap for this.
Because of stuff like this.
Stuff like this.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome.
Yeah, we get a bad rap.
Okay, Deshaun Watson.
Ooh.
Okay. Is so freaking awesome. Okay.
Chris. Disgusting.
I mean, I just look at it like.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome.
You sound just like him. You sound just like him. I mean, but that's the deal. Like, he shouldn't even have gone there. Like, there's, like we get a bad rap of like white guys can't dance. Like, no, they just make
poor. That's not fair. That's
not
fair.
The ones that can't dance make poor decisions and get on a dance floor and make a fool out of themselves.
Yeah, there are several people that are Justin Timberlake like that I have run into that can cut a rug.
I mean, be honest, right?
I'm being dead serious.
No, I'm not. But you're talking about the greats of the greats. Like, Have you ever seen a black dude that you knew that was your boy and you knew he couldn't dance, but every time you went to a bar or a club where he was out there making a fool of himself and he couldn't dance?
Yeah, Steve.
One. Steve. You got Steve? Several. That's all you got?
I got a couple. Steve.
I got about
Tone. Tone can't dance either. I know the white
you're
guy.
You're blowing my thought out of my.
I'm
my,
just saying, I got a couple.
My who, theory out of the water
I'm just
here.
Just saying, I got a couple who.
It's like if you can't dance, just stay on the wall and bob your head. It ain't that hard,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Put something on nice.
Do group dances.
Yeah, yeah. Just stay out of it. Just don't do it, man.
Group aggressive dances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I might walk into a group of 20 of them. Like, I mean, 19 of y'all should be on the wall. Like, there is no question. Just be on the wall. Don't do anything else.
So you saying this Chris Sims with this song. Is a guy that you're sure is a against the wall guy.
I'm saying Chris Sims is awkward as hell when he's singing about. First of all, he used the word freaking. Which
can we hear it again? I just want to make sure I know that this is a guy that would be against the wall. You don't.
He should stay against the wall, but he clearly doesn't.
But he clearly
he's out there in the middle. All 6'5", long, lanky, silly looking. Yeah, he ain't staying.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome. Ooh.
That's
okay. Deshaun Watson. Ooh. Okay. Is so freaking awesome. Okay.
Ooh, that's a fun. Like, I think Pat I bet Pat McAfee can dance.
Oh, yeah. I bet Pat can go.
Dan? I think Dan Orlowski can probably dance. I think he can dance, and I think
when you looked up at that TV and saw Dan Orlovsky,
a little swagger.
What did you? Oh, he's got a little swag.
There's a little
to
swagger.
Him.
Obviously, Mike can't. There's a little swagger. Yeah,
Mike never had a chance.
Mike knows he can't, and he doesn't. I think Dan knows he's not Timberlake, but he knows he knows what he can do, and goes he does his thing. I think this Chris Sims guy who thinks that Deshaun is freaking awesome. Chris is not aware of his talent.
Chris is out there just doing it all. I blame it all on the University of Texas. I think he went to Texas, and because he was 6'5 and Phil's son and could throw it to the moon and back, I think nobody ever told him the truth. I think they walked in on 6th Street, and his big lanky ass got out there and went to flopping around, and people thought it was cute and funny, and these girls flocked around him. And now he ain't playing ball no more, and he's trying to rap. I just don't, it ain't it.
What you think Chris Sims is, he's the guy – or the gal that's on American Idol and is floored when they tell him, your ass can't sing.
When they start laughing.
Yeah,
but they've been told their whole lives, man, you can sing, baby, you can sing. And they get up there and they, hallelujah, the children are the future. And they say, stop. And they say, you can. What?
Yeah. what's my man Florio? Florio would let that happen and then highlight it. Like, if I was Florio, you should have cut that out of the footage. Like, let's just get to the quarterback talk. Now, I mean, look, I don't mean to be hateful, but I just, it's one of the things, good quarterback, spin it around the park a little bit, made a little money in the league doing it. But, man, stay on the wall.
Just stay on the wall. Too much confidence.
Yeah, bob your head, tip the waitress a little bit so she gives you more attention than everybody else so that you can be cool in other ways and you get your drinks a little quicker and, you know, buy a couple of pops for who. But come on, man.
I do want to make it clear.
Stay off the wooden floor.
To be fair, there are black guys that are black, too much confidence black guys, who think that they can dance.
I've been around a long time. There's been a many a night I've been the only spot in the club, and I'm just going to tell you, I didn't walk in and recognize an abundance of black males dancing that shouldn't dance.
They're out there, Jack. I want to assure you. They are out there.
You're ruining my theory. Yeah, my theory was that the ones that can't dance, they just stay on the wall and bob their head a little bit.
Yeah, I hear you. And I'm just telling you, it ain't just white
people. What about Tony?
Tone needs to go over there. Tone's stepping on everybody's feet.
He needs to stay on the bar stool.
He's stepping on people's feet that he ain't even dancing with. He's just area footstepper.
Hey, we're at the Army-Navy game last year. And we come out of it was after the game, so we're 3 days into this thing, and you know they treat you really really well when you go to the Army Navy game, and we come out, and brother, I'm talking about it's cold as hell in Philly, it's raining, but it's not like raindrops, but it's not sleet yet, you know what I mean? It's just icy cold, And we walked by what at one point was obviously just a normal tailgate. And it turned out they got the music turned up, and we walk around this corner, and I don't know what kind of drugs they were taking, but what they were doing was nothing even remotely on rhythm. I mean, it was
just lost.
It was awful, and I was just like, "See, here we go. This is why it
ticks you off, doesn't it?"
And it was right out where everybody in the stadium had to walk out. So I don't know if there was 50,000 people there. All 50,000 walked out and saw this group dancing and thought, yep, dancing ain't your deal.
From the text line, you can jump in. Are you the guy who dances with too much confidence? Just
me?
Really, I'm just asking anybody out there.
No.
From the 8th through
2. Oh, talking about me.
Yeah, Clint, I danced at my wife's Christmas party, and afterwards a guy came up to me and gave me a card for dance lessons. I've never danced since, damn.
I don't want
to take nobody's fun and joy from them.
I do. Like if you got to walk in whatever party you're at and act an absolute donkey on the dance floor, knowing you have no rhythm, and that goes on throughout the night. Like we got to find some hobbies.
We got to
find some friends.
I just want you to know what tier you're in. Like Mitch, you can't just throw balls that Mahomes throws.
Agreed.
You got to know what you do, Mitch. You got to know what you can't just do it.
Yep.
And I don't want to take nobody's joy from it, but you know you don't have a backflip in your back pocket, so don't attempt it.
Now you're getting real.
You don't
extreme.
Have the staggy leg. You don't have it. That's not what you got. Don't attempt it. Right? Like don't.
I'm talking about just have rhythm.
Yeah, man. If you ain't, I won't take nobody's joy. I just, you know,
if you
just
can't stand on the wall and bob your head to the song, you got zero business being on the dance floor.
Back to
zero.
Back to Chris Sims, who has zero.
That's right. We
agree. We agree. He does
that.
Not have any right to be on the dance floor. He brings up something as I was watching him. He brings up something, Clint, that I don't know how many people in football who know football and know the position of quarterback have to come out and say this before. I'm talking to y'all, Texans fans. Can't believe it. Let's listen to this clip, because many Texans fans don't want to believe that this is true. This is Chris Sims speaking about Deshaun Watson.
I just see too many instances of, hey, look at DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, he's not wide open. Let me get my eyes down and just scramble and move outside of the pocket. And you just go, whoa, no, the pocket was good. Just stay in there and throw it.
Let's talk about that. Let's do it. Maybe it helps him now. It's no longer, is DeAndre Hopkins there? He's not, oh, crap, I have to improvise. Now you take DeAndre Hopkins out of the mix. You have to run the offense. You have to go through your reads. It can't just be, if DeAndre's open, I'm throwing it to him, otherwise I'll figure it out as I go.
Right.
It's not going to be that way now. So look, we've all assumed it's going to be a negative for the Houston Texans to not have DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe this, in a weird sort of way, helps unlock the next level of development for Deshaun Watson by not having a security blanket, a go-to only guy in the passing game before I figure out what I'm going to do and how I'm going to make chicken salad out of this play.
Clint Sterner in the show with you on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Listen, I don't like to sprain my back, my shoulder, trying to pat myself on the back, but I was one of the first ones to say this, that this move was made to try to
And you
improve,
got crushed for it.
Yeah, and to try to improve Deshaun Watson, because they want to make this his offense and that he doesn't just sit there and use, as you have said, a crutch. I don't know how many people have to come in. Hall of Famers, Warren Moon, Kurt Warner has come out and talked about he could be better with this. Bucky Brooks has come out. Clint, you've said it. Now Chris Sims, you know, take that at your own risk, but now Chris Sims has come out and said it. I don't know how many people have to come out and explain that, because so many people, how is Deshaun going to get better without one of the best receivers in the game?
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I don't think the move was made to allow Deshaun Watson to develop. I mean, I think it was made because they didn't feel like they had the money to pay the guy, and he wasn't going to be happy here without the money. But to think where we sit right now today, that this offense can't be and can't, like, I'm talking about, take significant steps forward, and this quarterback can't take significant steps forward, and a lot of it has to do that the crutch is now ripped out from underneath you. Like you have no drawing in the dirt and throwing a touchdown. That's out of the plan now. You know, hanging on a guy for 2 or 3 seconds as long as you possibly can and him ended up making a great catch. I mean, that's just not the best approach anymore. I do believe at one point in time with Deshaun Watson, the way that Bill O'Brien was structuring the offense around him, a lot of times that was the best yeah. option available. Clearly, it's not going to be available this year, and I do believe that it's solely this year is solely dependent on, in terms of players, the quarterback developing and progressing through his reads and distributing the football to the open receiver. That is something that Deshaun Watson's got to get better at. But damn it, that's something that Deshaun Watson's got to get better at if he wants to be the quarterback that I know he dreamed of being when he was a little fella. I mean, he's a guy that he ain't happy just making a bunch of money and being in the NFL. Ultimately, he wants to win ball games, and he wants to be a contender for a Super Bowl every year the way that Pat Mahomes is right now. And when it's all said and done, that's what drives Deshaun Watson and ultimately him becoming a better distributor of the football, trusting his reads, trusting the offense, taking the ball to the open guy regardless of who he is. That is going to make him a better player, and that is going to put this team in position to be more consistent on the offensive side of the ball.
Unlocking his mind and looking at the entire field every time he steps back.
Yeah.
Prior to the snap as well. I mean, come on, you've played the position before, and you've played it with a dominant receiver when you had your boy Anthony Lucas at Arkansas. I'm sure there were times where you knew you was going to him prior to the snap and had already made the decision in your mind that you were going there prior to the snap. And it seemed like Deshaun would do that often. And I think it does make you a better player more times if you just, all right, I'm looking at the entire field and looking at every place that could be open.
Yeah, I mean, and part of that is just, it has nothing to do with Hopkins. A part of that is just Deshaun Watson developing and maturing and becoming a fourth-year guy in this league. I mean, it's he would get stuck on DeAndre Hopkins a lot of the times. He would get stuck on his first read and then drop his eyes and in a good pocket that you heard Chris Sims talk about earlier. There were times when there's a good pocket. He drops his eyes. He gets happy feet. Those are all things that the greats in this league, and when you talk about the greats, I'm talking about the ones that have won Super Bowls, other than Pat Mahomes, obviously. You look at Drew Brees. You look at Tom Brady. You look at Ben Roethlisberger a lot of the times. You look at the guys that have excelled at the quarterback position, and they are unbelievably comfortable in a good, clean pocket and never get frazzled. Now there's some of them that'll play off platform, like Ben Roethlisberger plays off platform a lot, holds the ball too long. He's too damn comfortable in the pocket. Deshaun Watson's got to get comfortable in the pocket, comfortable getting through his progressions, and I just think when you've got like this group of players, it's no good to sit on and hang on to a certain player a lot of the time or in clutch situations. You have got to distribute the football. You've got to get a good pre-snap read. You've got to get through your progressions. These are all quarterback 101 things that Deshaun Watson should have been working 3 months ago, and that should be the emphasis of his entire offseason.
I think there's an example we watched when we were talking through that Kansas City game they played in Kansas City in the regular season, the one they won, and the interception he threw when he just eyed Deshaun the whole way on the fade. And then I remember you looked at the whole part of the field, which I think that's what quarterbacks do, and he had Fells just wide open in the center of the field. But he never, ever once even looked at it or even thought of it because he knew where he was going.
And that's the matchup, right, is you get hop pressed with no deep help, then, yeah, I'm throwing the fade, but you still got to read your key. The safety was in the box, and at the snap of the ball, the safety bailed high outside over the top with Hopkins. And when you do that, if he would have just trusted his read, he comes back to the middle of the field, and I believe it was Jordan Aikens. And he's on a linebacker, and he's running straight up the middle of the field. Now, it would have been an on-the-line throw, but you had a better matchup there, and you had the middle of the field wide open because that safety was giving so much attention to Hopkins. And look, it would be easy to go through and pick out a handful of plays like that and really hold it against Deshaun Watson. I think that would be silly, but that's a perfect example of showing specifically what we mean is if you just trust your eyes and you get to the better matchup, then the result will be more consistent because it'll be an open guy or you'll have the advantage more times than just being more physical than the defender, which is what Hopkins was a lot of times. Great at it. I mean, unbelievably great at it. There's no argument with the production. There's no arguing that he's a top receiver in this league. But if I will take all day long a quarterback that will just get through his reads and take the football where it's supposed to be, stay cool, calm, and collected, don't get hung up on anybody, get through your progressions, and that's the way you win in this league.
From the text line 281, so say it on record. Both of you believe the Texans will be better without Hopkins. Hope this season happens so we can find out. Hope you're right. I told you, I've said it. Once they made the trade for Brandon Cooks and they brought him in and you started to see all of the weapons, I said this offense under Bill O'Brien has never been a top 10 offense. I think this offense will be the best offense they've had, barring any kind of crazy-ass injury, especially to four. I think this will be the best offense they have ever had, and the first time this offense will be a top 10 offense.
Yeah, if they stay healthy.
And I've said it.
If they stay healthy, this offense will be better than they've been in the past. There's no doubt about it. Which that's not – with or without Hopkins, it's not a level of talent. Like the talent drop off from Hopkins to whoever you want to think they brought in to replace him, it's not about that. It's about the consistency that we talked about earlier with John McClain. I mean, you look at the New England game, you look at the New Orleans game, the Kansas City game during the regular season, and you just look at the game plans and what it consisted of and how they got everybody involved. They got the RPO game involved. Deshaun ran with his feet early in the games. I mean, look at how they were able to dominate the game and not necessarily score a ton of points, but they were always in control of what the hell they were doing. Yes, if everybody stays healthy, I believe that this will be a better offense, a more consistent offense, a more dominant offense than what you've seen in the past.
And see, Dirty, for me, a lot of people just incorporate it and think of Deshaun. I mean, I'm sorry, think of DeAndre Hopkins. To me, no, that's not just it. Yes, I think I like their entire receiving core as a whole better than it was last year.
No question.
Right? But also, this offensive line is going to be the best offensive line that Deshaun has ever been in front of. Like, it's clearly going to be the best. Those tackles. Then the backfield, to me, I think there's so much you could do, and I think they've got improved talent in the backfield. That's why it's not just hot.
Well, most importantly, the play caller's got to be better, and Deshaun Watson's got to be better. And,
yes.
And in turn, the offense will be more productive, yes.
That's right, man. Good times this week. We've had a lot of fun. Remember, behind us, Texans All Access, The Voice, Mark Vandermeer, and John Harris. Coming up behind us, Bridget Falcone, excellent this week. Tyler, shout out to you, Clint. Go ahead and pick them toes up. Have a good weekend and get you some of them Blue Mountains.
That's right.
And Houston, I am Ron, the show Hughley. And as always, we love you, baby.
And the world's all right with me.
Me a Coors Light and jump off in this pool.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.